de elke zondag service. Tjoe. So normal is a sitting on a washing machine. It's overrated. Normally we do baby dedications as part of the announcements, but I thought to myself, for special Daniela, the timing of this baby dedication this morning could not be more perfect. As we're dealing with a theme called The World Needs a Father, on one hand here, you have a perfect example of a God-fearing man, a husband, a father, a brother, a friend, a son, who's choosing to make a stand and go upstream in a world that's going downstream fast. There's a perfect example of a man that says, "Yes, Lord, I'll stand up and be counted as a God-fearing man in my home. I'll be an example of a prophet, priest, and king in my home. I'll be an example to my wife of a God-fearing man. I'll be an example to my child of a man who seeks God above all else." And his wife by his side as his helper, saying, "I'll come alongside. Our home is going to be a sanctuary for the things of God. And by means of our lifestyle, ons leefwyse gaan 'n goddelike voorbeeld vir ons kosbare gift wat ons gekry het van die Here in die vorm van Daniela." That's on the one hand. And on the other hand, there's people that have never known their father. There's new life being celebrated and there's lives coming to an end. 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, Andre's dad went to be with the Lord. And we pray for that family. Andre, ons dink aan julle. Daar's nie woorde wat ons vir julle kan sê nie, but behalwe ons staan saam met julle in die gebed. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He's the author of life. And it's our honor and privilege as a congregation this morning just to celebrate this precious life. And for those of you that do not know, our visitors from overseas, the UK, welcome. We trust that you feel at home in the presence of the Lord. What a baby dedication is about. It's not about the salvation of the child. It's not about a membership. It's not about anything. It's about where the parents choose to make themselves accountable to a body of believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and say, "We make a covenant today. We're entering into a covenant with God. We're making a promise to God that by means of our lifestyle, ons gaan ons kind groot maak in 'n godvreesende huis, deur middel van my leefwyse. I'm going to show the first sermon my little daughter Daniela is ever going to see or hear is my lifestyle." Did you get that, folks? That's what they're doing. They're taking this child and say, "Lord, we realize Daniela is a gift from you, but we give her back to you and say, we're going to do the best we can under the guidance and anointing of the Holy Spirit to raise Daniela in such a way that she's going to come to know Jesus at a very, very young age." Dennis and Marika, so let's be forward to come. So what we do is, this is as serious as marriage. And marriage is serious. It's super serious. Ons wil ons net herinner aan die toewijdingsverbond wat hulle maak vir oggend as ouers. They've already signed this, so I know it's legit. It's what's reflected on this piece of paper is what's going on in the hearts of these two precious people. As die ouer van my kind sluit ek hiermee die volgende verbond. Ek sal my kind groot maak volgens die ouerskapsbeginsels soos geskryf in God se woord. Ek sal die Bybel gebruik as die finale gesag vir al die besluite wat ons as gesin neem. Ek sal verseker dat ons volgens Bybelse waardes in ons huis leef. Ek sal verseker dat my lewe 'n voorbeeld van Christus vir my kind sal wees. Ek sal my kind leer om my ouers te eer. Jy het beter soet wees jou kind. Ek eet daar sommer nou op sonder vla. Ek sal voortdurend groei as 'n Christen ouer en daardeur kennis aan my kind en in daardie kennis aan my kind oordra. Ek sal altyd bid dat God se wil in ons lewens sal geskied word. Ek sluit hierdie verbond in die naam van ons Here en Verlosser Jesus Christus. Signed, Dennis and Marika Brits. I'm first going to pray for precious Daniela, as ek mag. Kom hier so, you gorgeous thing. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious soul. I thank you that before the foundation of this earth was laid, you knew and you called her by name. En Here, jy het a pot vir haar voorgelê en 'n lewensplan vir haar wat perfek is. Ons bid dat hy perfekte wil geskied sal word in Danielle se lewe. Ons bid dat sy tot reddende kennis van Jesus sal kom op 'n baie, baie jong ouderdom. And I feel the warmth and the life in this body. Thank you that wherever she goes, people will see the warmth and the life of Jesus in her. I come against every assignment and strategy of the enemy that he would want to come to steal, kill and destroy. I cancel that this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that this precious life will be an example wherever she goes. And thank you that this cute little mouth is watering and drizzling saliva. I thank you that from the time she can speak, the words that will come out of her mouth will be life-changing words of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God the Father. And all God's people said, Amen. And Daniela said, volgend, I believe I can fly. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dan gaan ek vir die ouers bid volgend. Here, wat 'n voorreg om saam met my boetie en sussie te kan staan vanoggend. Here, dit is vir ons 'n voorreg vandat hulle ons lewens gejoin het. Here, they've been such a blessing to us. It's been encouraging to see the humble way in which they serve you. There's no pretense. There's no plastic here. It's just real people doing real life with Jesus. Lord, you give grace to the humble, but you oppose the proud. Ek dank u vir die nederige manier with Dennis and Marika, E. Din, and the selfless way in which they serve, and they just give of their time and their talents, but most of all, of themselves to your body. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bless them abundantly, body, soul, and spirit. I thank you that you will supernaturally provide everything that household will ever need. Give them strength. I pray for wisdom for Dennis as the head of the home, as the leader. And his responsibility is to love. Ek bid vir Marika, Lord God, whose responsibility is helper. And her role, Lord God, is to stand in the gap and be a helper for her husband, Lord God. Her role is helper and her responsibility is to submit to the things of God in that household, Lord God. I thank you for this family unit. I thank you that Marika's heart turns a house into a home. And a building into a sanctuary for the things of God. En ons dankie daarvoor in Jesus se wonderlike naam. Amen. Lief vir julle hoor. Hier is julle Daniela se sertifikaatjie. Yay. Also, bless you guys.
Thank you.
Well, ja. Se wag. Kom ons kyk wat maak sy hiermee. Hallo Daniela. Hallo. I'm getting distracted by all this cuteness. Yeah, ek het 'n boodskap om te bring. Bless you guys. While I'm getting this machine started up, please greet somebody around you, to the left, to the right, behind you, in front of you. Is die paraffin klaar? There you go. Bless you. It's our second installment of this new theme called The World Needs a Father. Just to recap, last week we spoke about one of the main overlooked or main reasons why Jesus came to earth is to show us the Father. Yes, he came as a Savior, he came as a Redeemer, he came as a Justifier, he came to show us the example, but ultimately also he came to show us the Father. And we looked at some alarming statistics as to the devastating role that fatherlessness plays in the world. And we realized that there isn't a single social pathology in the world today that does not have its root cause in this curse of fatherlessness. And we looked at how God's heart always from the beginning was to have a family, and He's a Father. We took a brief look at the way Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you pray, pray like this: our judge, our creator, our king. No, our Father. God is first a Father. And we're going to visit that again this morning to recap, to refresh our memory on a few things, and then just unpack what the Lord has laid on our hearts this morning. I trust that if you're hungry and thirsty for the things of God, you're going to be fully satisfied. If you're here to be impressed with a sermon of a man, you're going to go home disappointed and probably worse off than before you came. So I hope it's the former, that you came hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Our theme scripture is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, and it says His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise it will come and strike the land with a curse. There's a call that's going out from God's heart right now. There's a call in the world that's going out right now. And before we refresh ourselves with these statistics, one of the things that I like to do is shoot. And I was shooting yesterday on a shooting range. And the location of the range is at a place where you can do one of the other things that I like to do, and that is ride off-road motorcycles. So while I was hearing gunshots going off in the background through the headphones, every now and again I heard the ring, ding, 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 of a two-stroke dirt bike manned by some person enjoying himself in the dirt. And then I heard in the distance, I heard superbikes. The guy going through the gearbox. And I heard all these things going on. And God just started speaking to me while we were participating in the shoot. And I realized the world is the world. The world is going on. There's sounds and there's different people doing different things all the time. People, mense is besig met hulle dinge. But so too is God busy with His stuff. And the question that God would ask us this morning, what are we busy with? Are we hearing the call of God that is going out into the world? Are we hearing what God is speaking about? Are we aligning ourselves with what's important to God? Or are we coming to God with our stuff and our life and we're asking Him, Lord, bless this which I'm doing. Lord, get involved with this which I'm doing. Lord, take notice of this which I'm doing. Instead of saying, no, Lord, I want to get involved with what You are already blessing. There's a huge difference. Now, if we're speaking about the world needs a father, and if you say, Mozzie, this thing about fatherlessness, how can it be so urgent? Well, we're going to refresh our memory this morning. And if you weren't here last week, listen to this and prepare yourself. If it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. 57% of children in South Africa are raised without fathers. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from, you guessed it, fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological father. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. And then to quote Stephen Baskerville, who made this statement, I'd encourage you to Google him and see what qualifies this man to say this. Stephen Baskerville, in case you're wondering. Virtually every major social pathology has been linked to fatherlessness, violent crime, drug and alcohol abuse, teen pregnancy, suicide, all correlate more strongly to fatherlessness than to any other single factor. The connection with fatherlessness is so strong that it erases the relationships between race and crime and low income and crime. So that's just to emphasize how urgent this call is. But at the same time, as a Christian, you've got to wonder, but Mozzie, I thought the Great Commission is the end all and be all of our walk with God. I thought this mission that Jesus has sent us on as a Christian is what we're supposed to be focusing on as Christians, and you'd be right. The Great Commission is Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 19. Jesus says, go into the world and, please repeat the rest, church. Okay, most of you know it. The Great Commission. And for a lot of people, it's the Great Omission, because they're just omitting to do it. So that's the go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them and remind them of everything that I taught with you, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of this age. What a strong commission and what a beautiful promise from Jesus. But the question that begs to be answered is, Mozzie, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, folks, addressing the issue of fatherlessness is one of the most effective ways we can do that. Last week, we looked at the fact that if Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father, how does he do it? Jesus reveals the heart of the Father through fathers to whom he's revealed his heart. I'm going to say it again so that more people start shouting out, amen. Jesus reveals the heart of the Father by revealing the Father to fathers to whom he's revealed the heart of the Father. There's a call of God going out to men. If you're born a male, that includes you. If you're born with male organs, that includes you. There's a call of the heart of God going out to the world for men to stand up and become fathers, either biologically or spiritually. If you're like me and haven't had the privilege of having biological children, then if you're a believer, if you say you follow Jesus, if you know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and you follow him, and you live for him, and you love like him, there's a call, my brother, that's on your life to show the heart of the Father to a fatherless world. God will place you in situations where you come across people who do not know the love of the Father, that do not have a Dennis and a Marijke Brits in their lives. God will place you in those situations. There's a call of God that's going out and saying the world needs a father. You want to know how we're going to fulfill a great commission? Is to address the issue of fatherlessness. If not you, who? If not now, when? If not you, Carla, who? If not now, when? Chris, when's the time going to be right? When's the need going to be greater than now? I don't know about you, but Jesus should have been here a long time ago. As much as I love my wife, and you folks also are right, as much as I enjoy what God's doing here, there's more. I want to be with Jesus. I want his kingdom come and his will be done. How are we going to experience that? How are we going to have kingdom here and now? We spoke about the fact last week that who doesn't want heaven at home? Who wants heartache, pain, suffering, fighting, bickering, moaning, civil warfare between husband and wife? Who wants that at home all the time? Whew, thank God. I thought my work is cut out for me this morning. If somebody raised their hand, for sure. No, we all want heaven at home. How are we going to have heaven at home? Where a man makes the time to have a connection with his Maker, to get the heart of God in his heart, to transform his life, or let God transform him and reveal the Father heart of God to his wife and to his children. So that they can then go into the world and reveal the heart of God to a world that desperately needs a father. So if the Great Commission is uppermost in our minds as a Christian, surely this scourge of fatherlessness should be uppermost in our minds as well. Have I opened? Yeah. That should be uppermost in our minds. This call of God, let's lay a scriptural foundation for that. Folks, when this is just me as Mozzie, I'm not a very intelligent man. There's only so much that this gray matter can handle. And when I look at statistics like that, I think, well, that's it. I can't somehow up here. I don't have an answer for this. This is an impossible task. Tell me, sir, how do you reverse those statistics? Somebody, how do you change those statistics? It is an impossible task. But the good news is, we serve the God of the impossible. We serve the God of the impossible. Through God, we'll achieve this. Through God, we'll achieve this. This is an impossible task. So this call of addressing fatherlessness and fulfilling the Great Commission is mission impossible, and it doesn't involve Tom Cruise. It involves God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and any man, woman, and child that will get up off their blessed assurance and say, "Here I am, God, use me." How many of you are on board with me this morning? Come on, church. Come on. And the rest of you? Wat gaan jy nou maak? Nee, ek gaan by die huis kyk en Netflix. That's fine. There's a time and a place for that as well. But what I'm saying is, man, I'm trying my best to relay what God has on his heart this morning. And it's an urgency. Folks, it's an urgency. It's a desperate, desperate need. You know, okay, this is not even in the sermon notes. I'm just going to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is laying in my heart. Several years ago, I was wrestling through some things in my pip about the state of the nation, the state of the government, the state of finances, the state of the police, the state of everything. It's net nach, it's gemors. And I was like, God, what's going on? And I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, the majority of the people in South Africa, and already he had me at a majority, at the word majority, because you work out what the majority is. The majority of the people in South Africa need to learn to discern between honey and curds, like Jesus did. In other words, the bitter versus the sweet. What's right, what's wrong. What's pure, what's evil. What's good, what's bad. The majority of the people have to learn to discern between honey and the curds so that they don't make the mistakes of the past in the future again. It's a long learning curve that the nation of South Africa as a whole has to learn. Because we elect clowns and put them in the principal's office. People that can build nothing, and we wonder why nothing gets built. The majority of the people in South Africa. And I'm like, wow, Lord, that's great. But what do we do about it in the meantime? Because we're sitting here frustrated beyond redemption almost. And the Lord said, and remember, I was moaning and complaining and bickering, eh? I was hoing my toys out of the cot. And I said, Lord, what do we do in the meantime? While the majority of the people are learning to discern the difference between honey and curds. You know what the Holy Spirit said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And I shut up and I stopped complaining. You want things to change in this nation? I'm going to do that by fulfilling the Great Commission and doing that by addressing the curse of fatherlessness. That's how we can do the impossible through God. Is that making sense to anybody this morning? That's how urgent things are. So I don't know about you. If you think things are lacquer in South Africa, fine. Stay where you're at then. Keep on keeping on. Sikkel voort. Carrying on then. But if you have a righteous indignation, a righteous anger against the unholiness of everything and you want it sorted out, please become part of the solution and not stay part of the problem. You know, I bring nothing positive to the table when I stand there, when are they going to do something about this? Well, guess what? I am the they. You are the they. Okay, Nikki believes it. Let me try. You are the they. You are part. Calm down. You're part of the solution. Stop being part of the problem. Get with God's program. Sense in your spirit the urgency of the hour and get on board in addressing this. In the name of Jesus, that's how we're going to make a change. What's the scriptural foundation for these things? Romans 8, verse 18 to 19. And yet what we suffer now, how many of you are suffering to a greater or lesser degree? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you that are not suffering, please see me after the celebration. I need counseling. I need it desperately, please. Those of you that didn't, you're not suffering in any way, please come and help me. I need help. Because I'm suffering with a juxtaposition. In other words, that's the thing in between kingdom come and the world now. That space in between, I'm suffering there. Those of you that aren't, please come counsel me. I need your input. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal in us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly. I want to paraphrase. All South Africa is waiting eagerly. Your workplace is waiting eagerly. The schools are waiting eagerly. The factories are waiting eagerly. Wherever you go, there's people eagerly waiting for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. It speak about stuff to come, but also the here and now. In other words, you say, when are they going to do something about this? Heaven is saying like, hey, when are you going to get up and do something about it? I've sent you my word. I've sent you my son. You've got His name. You've got the blood. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the fellowship of the saints. You've got it all. What more do you want? I've given you everything. Start making a positive change. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? And in preparation for this, I said, yes, Lord, I don't want to say this. The Lord said, you don't want to do what? Not, I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to say this, but I have to, because I'll come undone. My prayer is this, or God's heart this morning, is that you leave this place with your heart broken. You think, Smuzzy, especially the first time visitors, you might not want to come back here again. Where are the folks from the UK? Can you raise your hands? You came all the way from the UK to South Africa. You ask some oak tell you, no, I hope you come to church to have your heart broken. I hope your hope is renewed and your faith is built up and you're edified and encouraged, but I also hope that you go home with your heart broken. Broken for what? I pray that our hearts become broken with the things that break God's heart. I pray that our hearts become broken with the things that break God's heart. It breaks God's heart that there are children, untold numbers, that don't know who their fathers are. It breaks God's heart that there are homes where there's no man sharing the good news of the gospel with them. It breaks God's heart that there's a male in the home. He's male, but he's not a man because he's not loving his wife like Christ said, love the church. It breaks God's heart that there's a male in the home, but he's not a man because he's not leading the example and showing his son how to respect woman. Come on, church. These are the things that are breaking God's heart. I pray that we go home with our hearts broken with the things of God. That we have a checkup from the neck up and catch a wake up and say, God, this is it. This is what you want us to do. This is what the Christian walk is about here and now in South Africa. You want to make a difference as the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa? This is how you do it. All of creation is eagerly waiting for the day when the sons and the children of God are revealed. Will you respond to Jesus' call on your life? Oswald Chambers made this devotion in his classic devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. It's written for the 13th of June. My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And he writes this: if you abandon everything to Jesus and come when He says come, then He will continue to say come through you. Do you get that? If you abandon everything, in other words, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, if you abandon that for the call of God in your life, Jesus will continue to speak through you saying, come, come, come. To every circumstance, every sphere of influence that you have, every person with whom you have the privilege of rubbing shoulders, the call of God will go through you saying, come, come home to the Father. Come to salvation. Come to peace. Come to Jesus. Come to restoration. Come to hope. Come to purpose. Come to value. Come to redemption. Come to positive change. All those good things from heaven will be spoken through you when you abandon the things of the world and come with yourself fully, in total abandonment, yourself to Jesus and say, here I am, Lord, use me. The call of God will continue through you. You will go out into the world. This is Oswald Chambers' devotion finishing. You will go out into the world reproducing the echo of Christ's come. That is the result in every soul who has abandoned all and come to Jesus. To recap, this morning we looked at the fact that if as a child of God, the Great Commission is of importance to you, there's a way in which we can address that. We looked at Malachi 4 verse 6 last week and Luke 1:17, where John the Baptist speaks about how he's going to prepare the way for Jesus through this anointing that's on him, a similar kind of anointing that was on Elijah. It was on John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. This anointing will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. And through Jesus, we can have restoration to the heavenly Father. There's a call of God going out in the world, here and now, to each and every single one of us. Practically, as we close, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up. They're going to lead us in a time of worship, but also I'm going to make an altar call during the worship. Two-aspect altar call. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro this place, this morning. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, it says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Okay, this is in the context of the people of Israel. Fast forward it to 2025, please, and look at it in the context of your home, your household, your suburb, your town, your city, this nation. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. And our prayer is that God would stir our hearts and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be somebody that stands in the gap in my home, in my town, in my suburb, at my workplace, at the school that my kids go to, at the sport club that I'm a member of, whether you're part of a chess club or a shooting club or a hockey club or a whatever, I don't know what clubs, a paddle club or somebody help me, a gym or whatever. A gym. Wherever you are, that you be the somebody that stands in the gap and say, Lord, I've been exposed to the Father heart of God. I know Jesus. And Lord, use me somehow, somewhere along the line to make a difference in the life of somebody that does not know about the heart of the Father, that does not know that God is a Father, that does not know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make yourself available for that. Practically, how do we apply this? Ponder these questions as we close. What do you think is the best way to try and change a seemingly impossible situation? Next question. In what ways can we address fatherlessness by fulfilling Jesus' great commission? How do we do that practically? Discuss the practical ways in which one can serve one another through this cause. And the third question, in what way is God telling you to become part of the solution in your context? In other words, what do you sense God wants you to do to address fatherlessness? As the worship team leads us in a song, I'd like you all to just bow your heads and just pray right there where you're seated. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning, my prayer is that you've heard God's voice and not my nagging and my voice, but that you've heard the voice of God. And you want to respond, and you might be at a place where you say, Mozzie, that's great, but I don't know God as a father. I just know God as an angry judge that wants to punish me because I've done wrong. And you'd like to get to know God as a father. I want to encourage you, if you are in any way uncertain this morning of your relationship with God as a loving father, and if Jesus Christ to you is just a swear word or old fable storybook character and you don't know him as your Lord and your Savior, I want to pray for you this morning. This is the most important time of the entire celebration this morning. It's these few precious moments here and now. If you are in any way insecure of your relationship with God Almighty, raise your hand. Is there anybody like that here in the building this morning? Just raise your hand quickly. Anybody? Okay. That's awesome. I thank you for the assurance of salvation in every person here. And the second part of this altar call that I'd like to make is, if you have heard the voice of God this morning speak to you specifically regarding this challenge of fatherlessness, and you sense a yearning inside you to say, Mozzie, I can do something about that. In my context, there's a role that I can play, be it big, be it small, be it visible, be it unseen. And you'd like to be part of the solution in a greater way than you've ever been. If you'd like God to show you practical ways in which, and I'm talking to sons and daughters of God now, eh? If you'd like God to show you practical ways in which you can just reveal His heart to people that don't know the Father heart of God, into the lives of people who do not have a father, into the lives of people who are adults and who are fathers themselves, but are still living through the consequences of not having a father in their life. And you like to play a role in the lives of those people somehow. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me in your heart right there where you're seated. As we corporately together this morning come before you and say, Father God, thank you that because of Jesus, we can call you Daddy God. Because of Jesus, we can call you Abba Father. And God Almighty, this morning, in this place, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you show me? Would you help me to play the role you want me to play as a son or a daughter of God in addressing the curse of fatherlessness? Dear God, this is a daunting task. It's a huge responsibility. It is impossible for us to achieve by worldly means. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need your anointing. We need your heart. We need your mind. We need resources to address this curse. And this morning, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you help me to play my part as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, as a son or a daughter of God, to show the world the Father's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we pray for ourselves this morning, Lord, as we, as your children, have the privilege of calling you Father. As you take us on this journey, Lord God, and as even I know in this week, There's people here, you're going to see people differently because God is going to make you acutely aware of things in their life that's there because of fatherlessness. And God's going to give you, even you, an opportunity as soon as this week to somehow show the love of God. You don't have to be teachy. You don't have to be preachy. Just be real. Just be real. God's going to give you an opportunity to speak into somebody's life. I know that God's going to give you an opportunity to invite people to next week And the following week, because next week we'll probably speak about something else, but the week after that, we're going to continue with this fatherlessness thing for a while. God's going to give you an opportunity to invite them to church and just say, come, just listen. Just listen. God can help you in this situation. I know that. So I pray Almighty God bless you and keep you. God make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. And my prayer for you is, I want to open my eyes now as I pray, and if you got your eyes closed while you're praying, I'll ask you to look at me. If I may just get a privilege of glancing at every person this morning, I just want to say on behalf of God to each and every single one of you, I'm looking at everyone. Shall I get eye contact with every precious soul this morning? God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Mpo? God loves you. God loves you. God's going to continue to bring healing to that arm, you're going to see. God's going to continue to bring healing to that arm, sir. He loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Would you go and share that love? Spread that love in a practical way. I think it was Francis of Assisi. He said, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And I know there's no such men in this church. In this church, there's men that will go out and make a difference. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for fellowshipping with us this morning. I'm going to ask the deep end to close off in a song for us. The family from the UK, I'm going to get to you guys quickly. I want to make a point of greeting you specifically before you run off. I'm going to come and catch you at the back. Would you stand with us as the deep end leads us in a time of worship one more time? Thank you.